Welcome to From the Bleachers, the only podcast that recognizes that Real Housewives is a sport. Today, we have fellow podcasters and special guests. Welcome to Real Housewives on Real Housewives. Thank you guys for joining us. I'm Sandra.
I am Mandy.
I'm Caitlin.
And I'm Sharon. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, we're excited to be here.
We are so excited you guys are here. It's really fun to be able to chat with other people who are talking about Real Housewives from like a different angle and bring in some different stuff. So tell us a little bit about you guys and your podcast.
Yeah, so we've been friends for a million years. No, not a million years. But when I moved here, our husbands worked together. Mm-hmm. And so that's how we originally met each other. And I remember, this is our like meet cute story, but I remember like you were talking at the table, Sharon, and I was like, I think I could be friends with her. And that was like my first impression of you. And then we ended up going on a couple's trip to Chicago.
Yeah, when we went to Chicago, we were really like,
Our husbands like left us and was like, navigate Chicago together. Yes. And then we were like, we made it through. We didn't kill each other. We must be like meant to be.
Yeah. It is not easy to find people that you travel well with.
It's true. Absolutely.
Yeah. Especially Caitlin.
Yeah. but anyway, on our podcast, what we do is we do like a mini deep dive, we kind of call it, into the Real Housewives. So when a season is wrapped, we'll go through like one housewife at a time and go through their story arc and the big issues that you need to know. And we do sort of a versus format. So this person versus another person or versus an issue. And then we get to judge who wins. So that's kind of our layout.
Yeah. And we're going to be doing a versus episode directly following this with you guys. So if you guys want to head over to their podcast and hear us, we're going to be doing Kyle Richards versus.
Yeah. She's the big one of the season, I feel like.
Yeah.
And now, is podcasting your day job or?
No, we're Real Housewives.
We are. That's our thing.
I'm a nurse and I work just enough to keep my license active. Mm-hmm. But 90% of the time, I'm a Real Housewife.
All right. Well, I wanted to start off and talk about Real Housewives of Beverly Hills since that season just wrapped. As you guys know, we follow Real Housewives as a sport. And so if you guys had to pick an MVP of the season, who would it be?
Yeah, we argued about this a lot last night.
Why don't you go first?
I like it.
Yeah, we picked different people.
We did pick different people. So, I mean, I think I know you guys sort of were saying it within your scoring, you know, who won. For us, we felt like we'd go a little bit out of that. And I picked Sutton just because I felt like this was an amazing season for her. I think it's the first season she didn't feel like an extra. Like there's a lot of times where it just sort of felt like, oh, and Sutton's here. But this season she really had her own arcs. Like she had her own storylines. And we focused on her a lot. I was surprised when we went back through our notes how much Sutton came up. There was just a lot that really wouldn't have been there if she hadn't been there. So I felt like she was the one you couldn't take out of the equation and have the same season happen.
Caitlin, I had a similar in our episode where we talked about the season MVP. Sandra and I also disagreed. And I was on, I thought Sutton too.
Yeah,
thank you. Now I have a little bit of a different perspective because I have not been watching this show throughout history. So I picked up a little bit here and there on a couple of seasons. You know, Dinner Party from Hell. So I actually got to see the awful psychic episode.
Yes.
All of those things. But I agree that I thought Sutton brought a lot of heart. I thought she brought the humor, which to me is very important in my Housewives episode. If I don't have someone giving quips, then I lose interest.
I agree.
But I thought I really loved her, you know, my three men who abandoned me storyline. Mm-hmm. I loved her work in Spain. Yes. I thought she made a lot of great plays.
Yeah. She put Merce in the purse. Otherwise, we wouldn't have that.
For that alone.
For that alone, you've got to give her props.
Yeah. And she was the only one who was like bringing up what was going on with Kyle. Like Kyle wasn't bringing it up at first. And that was needed to push the storyline along. As well. Yeah. Just her progress from like she had a friend contract her first season and then
this was like what her third as a full housewife, and to see her progress through that to progress up to getting a hot seat next to Dark Lord Andy Cohen, which is like where we, that's like the goal of the housewife, right? Is to get those hot seats. That was an amazing progress to see. So yeah, she really did have a good season.
I want to change my answer now.
Okay.
Cause I also,
honestly, just because I didn't think about it the way you guys thought about it. Yeah. And now that you said that, like from the friend and how she's progressed, I'm like, oh, wow, you're right. She really did like come into her own, even though, I like her less. I'm the only one. Because I put my MVP as Erica because I think she's doing pretty well with her redemption arc.
I would agree, though, because honestly, she was such a mess the previous season that the fact that she was able to come back and show us that, like, she was redeemable.
like her work with a therapist, and she actually seemed sort of calm. There wasn't any really nasty, really nasty. The rumors,
no
nastiness,
rumors. Nothing.
Wrong franchise.
I thought it was an excellent callback.
Yeah.
Can't cross.
Yeah, no, Erica, I thought, did a great job this season too. Mm-hmm. And it really, and she even got like, you know, the whole like finale episode, even though it was about Kyle and Mauricio and their split hitting the news. Like she got a whole thing in the white party of her song, and it really was about her a lot too. Yeah. Like I think she even had maybe more of a dynamic and like progressing storyline than Sutton did.
Yeah. And I mean, she got the special episodes.
I was going to say she got her whole like Betted on Blonde special. Yeah. Like that's not too shabby.
Which we watched. Yeah.
And now you guys have also watched part two of The Housewife and the Hustler.
Yes.
So that's where I have conflicting problems.
Yeah, we did too. We were scared almost to do that. We put that together with Better on Blonde for our episode. We just did like Erica specials. But we were kind of daunted to talk about The Housewife and the Hustler just because it was so much information across the board. But we got into it and we just kind of kept wanting to talk about it because we'd go one way and then we'd be like, well, but, and it just like the back and forth, it's hard to know where to land on.
Well,
that.
That's because the documentary is so scattered that we could not speak about it in any kind of straightforward way.
It's true.
So.
Well, yeah, I went through and I was like, okay, we're going to just talk about this. Like we're going to talk about the victims. Mm-hmm. Then we're going to talk about the journalists and what they've uncovered. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to talk about the meeting with the victims. And that's it.
Yeah, because the documentary just like bounced back and
it
forth
was
between
so
them.
All
yeah.
Over the place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, we did an episode on, we just released it last week on The Housewife and the Hustler also. And it's funny because like when we recorded it, I had just watched it the day before or 2 days before or something. And I was like starting to doubt Erica and be like, I don't know if I'm ready to like feel that she did something wrong here. And now like a week out, I'm like, oh yeah, it's sitting with me even worse.
Oh, it comes
you know
back
what?
To you.
I listened to the Bravo docket. They go over the lawsuit with Marco.
Yeah, that's the thing that really stuck for us.
Because that was the one thing in the really thing hated. Where I was like, if she really did that, I can't support her. Mm-hmm. Listening to that, it sounds really bad, but I can see maybe Tom made her believe these things happened.
That's what I'm holding out hope for.
I think that's possible. I don't. Yeah. I want that to be true.
We want that to be true.
It's all time.
Yeah. Okay, but back it up a little bit. Does Erica Jane really seem like somebody who could be manipulated to that extent?
I'm not sure. Maybe manipulated, but I do think like sort of like that head in the sand concept. Like I think she could choose not to see where she didn't want to see.
Yeah,
she wanted the money. She wanted to do her thing. She thought they were that rich.
Yeah. And I think at that point, I agree.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there were probably red flags and she just walked right by him. But I think, I'm not sure that she knew what she was doing necessarily. I just think she chose not to see.
Yeah. I don't think she ever would have purposefully like steal money from victims. I really don't.
Mm-hmm. And I don't think she knew what was going on the day to day, you know, things.
Yeah. I don't think she knew anything about the victim settlement theft, but I think she takes care of herself, as I have said, and she doesn't really worry who that might hurt.
Yes, I think that's a good one.
Yeah, it doesn't even occur to her, I guess, is what you're saying, like, because she's self-absorbed. It's not even like a thought in her head.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see that. As long as we're talking about Erica, I know you guys have done some Versus episodes on Erica in the past. Do you have any other thoughts on Erica from your guys' digging into her?
Yeah, I mean, we liked her again this season. We didn't like her last season. Mm-hmm. So it felt refreshing. Like, that's one of our favorite things that we find in the verses is when one season we're like, oh, this person. And then the next season we're like, I like them again. Like, we just feel like that's good growth on their part to be able to like flip our opinion.
Mm-hmm. One thing, my opinion of Erica changed a lot. This was before this season when I read her book.
Yes.
Her book is really good. We did an episode on it and it really, it made me like her a lot more because I was pretty anti-Erica in the beginning.
Yeah.
Because I could see how why she is so cold.
Yes. It, like, the book kind of gives you an insight.
Or why she's so reserved with her true emotions.
Yeah. And why she doesn't trust.
I'm excited to read that book. And she does, she seems like a very smart housewife. She's always very curious and very interested in learning. And that is always such a good sign as far as what you're going to get.
Yeah, like the episode where she knew everything. She was drunk was in Barcelona. She was like
drunk Rain Man.
Yeah, drunk Rain Man. That was one of my favorites.
That was a great episode.
That was a great episode.
One of my favorite reasons to, or probably my favorite reason to watch reality TV in general and Housewives specifically is when people are really fascinating people. And I think Erica is in that category. Yes. Like she's just like, it's like, who are you? Where did you come from? How did you become how you are?
Yes.
And I think that's really what she brings to the show.
Yeah. She's a unique person. Like you're not going to see a carbon copy of her.
Right.
Right. Well, and that's one of the things that's very interesting about Kyle's transformation, right? Is who are you?
Yeah.
What's going on with you? Where are you going?
Well, speaking of Kyle, per our reunion seating statistics, Kyle is the strongest player by far on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Ding, ding.
And so what do you guys think of Kyle?
Okay, so we loved Kyle. Well, okay, I loved Kyle every season up until this season. This season, I didn't really enjoy Kyle. And I thought she was someone I would never flip on. But this season, I flipped on her. What was your take on
Kyle? I've always loved Kyle, even though she's totally shady in some of the rumors. And so, like, definitely I understand that. But she's just, she, you know, the OG. And and I like her family. I like Mauricio. I like her dogs. So, yeah, this season wasn't her best look, but it's clearly not her. There is something happening, I think, with her that is just, you know, I'm not sure that just – everyone has bad moments in life.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's for sure. It just felt like if you're going to present such a different side of you, you can't be completely surprised when people are wondering where that came from. And she acted like she had no responsibility and no understanding why people were confused. And that confused me.
I, again, not knowing Kyle for as long as the rest of you have, it seemed like she had come to a point in her life where she wanted to make healthier choices and it seemed incompatible to her work as a housewife. So, but it also led, I thought, to some interesting plays. I think I thought how it impacted her work as a housewife was interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe I hadn't
ushering
thought
in a new era for her if she stays.
Yeah. And it almost, there were so many complaints against her for not sharing what was going on with her and Mauricio, which, you know, is a personal choice. And, you know, whatever. It doesn't, it's not, in general, it doesn't make for good play to keep, to keep information. Like, that's what makes good reality TV is if you're sharing what's going on in your life. However, when you think about it, the fact that she was withholding it and then gave it to us in the finale kind of made for an exciting season because it gave us the drama of, like, people, like, trying to press on her, and that caused some friendship drama.
Yeah.
And then we did get it in the end, although a lot of people would criticize that we didn't get enough.
I probably would.
Well, the fact that she withheld it also let rumors fly, and the rumors are, like, almost more exciting sometimes than the truth.
Yeah, totally.
That's a really good point.
Yeah. Historically, I never found Kyle that interesting. I was actually really surprised when I did the stats and saw what a great player she is. I think it's because she doesn't have that same thing that, like, Erica has, or, like, even Sutton. They're just like, such fascinating, interesting people. Whereas I feel like Kyle's just kind of like your run of the mill, like, rich lady.
That's true.
See, and that's, that's something I like about her. I want a run-of-the-mill rich lady.
Well, she stereotype.
I feel like she anchors it.
You want stability.
Yeah, stability. You can have your more volatile characters, but then Kyle's always there.
Right.
With Mauricio.
That's true.
Stirring the pot.
And that's what I think felt so upsetting about this season. It's like there's often one or two that you feel like are the anchor. And then when you remove those anchors, then everyone's kind of adrift. Like everyone kept looking to her and there was no guidance. And so the ship was just like all over the place.
Housewife ship.
Yeah.
Does everyone think she'll come back next season?
Oh, yeah. So when we were talking about this, we were looking at our notes and we said that, and Sharon's husband was sitting here and he was like, of course she's coming.
He supposedly doesn't watch the show. But yeah. I think she has been on it so long. Mm-hmm. She's probably used to that level of fame. Yeah. I don't think she could like not go on it no matter how bad she came across. Mm-hmm. Also, she might want to go on it again to make herself look better. You know, maybe she can have
she like might want to fix season. This season. Yeah.
Redemption season. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I think I she like would. That. Thomas said she was holding out maybe for money.
But like, I don't think so. I don't know.
I mean, like there's a drama. She might need more with the separation. But also,
but I mean, she's also got a contract, I'm guessing, for buying Beverly Hills.
Yes, she wasn't on it season one at all.
Yeah, because she wasn't on season one. Yeah, that's right.
But I was wondering, there's a possibility she could parlay it into, because she does show up in season two, whether she, switches shows.
Well, but Housewives is so much bigger.
It's so much bigger.
I was feeling like towards the end of the season, I was like, I feel like she's changing her life in such a way that, like Mandy said, that it's somewhat incompatible with the show. Like she seems to want to keep things a little more private.
Yeah.
And she seems to want to like be her own person. And like, it just seems like the way that she's developing as a human is different from like putting your life on display.
Yeah.
That said, I haven't heard any rumors of her not coming back. So if she's going through a separation, she wants ways to make her own money, I assume.
But they are so rich. I feel like if they get divorced, I mean, they are like, she's one of the richest housewives.
But she might want to make sure that she has her own, you know, like non-related funds coming in, like after they make the separation.
I feel like they need to study divorce law, because we talk about this a lot on Real Housewives.
We do.
Like,
and it's California's community property, so everything that was she made during the marriage, she has rights to half of it.
Yeah, and they started from the ground up. Mm-hmm. Her book was really interesting, also, and it's interesting if you we read her book, and her book it's way old. She's like, she recommends you meet your husband at the door with like, you know, lipstick on and this almost like 1950s.
Yeah,
housewife.
She is a very different person now, if you think about
it. Yeah, and then now you see her, it's like complete opposite.
Her book was so like anti-feminist, it made us angry. It was a fun read to rip apart, but it was a horrible book.
Well, I love that growth for her then.
Yes. So when you think about that, it's a huge amount of growth.
Mm-hmm. Well, what about Sutton, you guys? I know we talked about her a little bit. Mm-hmm. Did everyone feel like she deserved her hot seat at the reunion this year opposite Kyle?
I thought yes, because she was the only person who really stood up to Kyle. Dorit kind of tried, but it didn't work very well. She doesn't have the strength behind that fight, I think, whereas Sutton did. Sharon pointed out Sutton didn't make it the whole reunion, though, so should she get the full amount of points?
Oh, right. That's a IFI.
If you leave early, like...
I want, like, a doctor's letter. She better...
Well, I will say, the fact that she went from an urgent care and the urgent care sent her to the emergency department at a hospital... Yeah. To me, that's some bona fides that, like, she
see, to
legit.
Me, that's a you're rich, I'm going to CYA. Like, you got to,
you better double check.
That is a different, I like that. That's the more medical perspective there.
She should have had a concierge doctor just come right out.
Exactly. I used to love Sutton. Mm-hmm. And this season,
we used to be Sutton apologists. Yeah. We always said,
No matter what Sutton did, I was like,
but
on
I
her
felt
side.
Like this was our redemption season. Like, finally, like, we've been backing her and we finally got something.
Something about her didn't sit right with me this season. Mm-hmm. I found her annoying.
Oh, yes. Yeah, she did not like name him.
Name him.
I did that to her in the episode.
I wanted to smack her.
Name him cracked me up.
Yeah.
If I had been Kyle in that scenario, I would have been super annoyed. Mm-hmm. But as far as like good housewife play, I mean, that was amazing. It was all over every meme. And
Merce in the purse, is like you said.
Exactly. She's the impetus of a lot of our lines.
I can see where Sharon's coming from is the fact that she was very uneven, though, right? There, like, that's she had moments of strength, moments of authenticity, and then coupled with moments like Sandra and I talked about when she's at the jewelry store with her daughter, just sort of that feeling, this like forced kind of, you know, like it was just like an inauthentic bonding.
We did
moment
hate that
kind
scene.
Of fell flat.
Yeah.
Well, her whole storyline sort of irritated me also, the whole be your own independent woman. And I
with your $300,000 a month.
Yes. It's a little easier that way.
I understand it. For her, it's like an emotional independence. Mm-hmm. So I get that it's not just financial. But she's still like, I almost feel like she's giving herself too much credit.
I don't, sorry. Like, I think that's fair. I mean, sometimes it's that cluelessness, though, that makes good TV. Like, the fact that this is what she thinks an independent leap out into the world is.
Yeah, exactly.
Know?
I think for her, it's awesome.
Maybe it's why she's not worried for Kyle. She's like, you'll be fine. Calm down.
I mean, I've spent a lot of time living in the South, so I get it.
Yeah.
That seems very appropriate for a Southern woman to be like, I'm totally independent. Yeah. What are you talking about?
What about Anna Marie, you guys? We actually, you know, we felt that she was kind of done dirty by the show a little bit, and that she could have had a much better season had things gone differently. And so yeah, I was a little disappointed to see how it played out.
Okay, me too. I liked Anna Marie. Mm-mm. She got screwed over. That is why I didn't like Sutton.
Yes,
even though
it
was Sutton was the one with the esophagus, and she was Anna Marie was wrong doing what she did with Sutton. Sutton's like just annoyed me, and I felt bad for Anna Marie somehow.
Yeah, maybe that is why Sutton annoyed you.
See, and I laid that more at Crystal's feet.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I hate Crystal.
Yeah, she hates her too.
Oh, hate.
Hey, right. In quote,
she's my least favorite.
There we go.
No, we really disagreed on Anna Marie.
Yeah. So Caitlin, give us the, you know, Caitlin.
I can't stand her. She drove me crazy. I just felt like she wasn't good housewife material. And maybe you're right. Like we kind of said too, she had a lot on her plate. Like when they talked about the fact that her mom had died and the fact that they just didn't introduce her well to the show. I mean, the way they brought her in was a little weird. And they just kind of put her as like Kyle's backup. And then Kyle had so much heat. So then Anna Marie brought the heat. I mean, but for me, she just wouldn't let stuff go, and it drove me crazy. And I felt like when she told Crystal that she made her relevant, it's like, yeah, but you were using Sutton to make you relevant. So she drove me nuts.
I did see an interesting thing on Instagram that Anna Marie put out where she talked about that the show approached her. She basically had no warning. She was sort of just like...
Oh, interesting.
Let me guess. Just, she'd never seen the show before.
Yeah. We think you have to say that to get a job on The Housewives.
What show? What show are you talking about?
I've never You have to be for TRR for the right reasons. You're just there because you're friends with everyone. It has nothing to do with the cameras. Yeah.
No, you know, she didn't start at the beginning of the season. So she was sort of, you know, they just kind of threw her in there. Yeah.
And she alluded to that she was talked into and egged on by producers to do the esophagus thing and to keep it going.
Interesting. Yeah.
Which is you are your own person. You make your own decisions. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But that's part of like becoming a good housewife. And I think sometimes rookies come in not knowing
absolutely
how to do that. And to be like, that's a good idea. I will listen to you, producer. Mm-hmm. Or that's a bad idea. Here's a better one. Yeah. Or like, can we negotiate?
And it depends how strong of a personality you are. Like if someone told me to kind of do it, I probably wouldn't be strong enough to be like, well, I'd rather do this. So it just sort of depends too.
Interesting. I hadn't really thought of that about like, how good a housewife by how much you ignore the producers or whatever that
and you can't ignore them completely either because you want the producers to like you and like you know so it's like a working with the producers to be like I won't do that but I'll do this what do you think would that be better you know kind of a
the
thing
housewife and like, savvy it's like its own special kind of business savvy
it is.
And that's one of the things that I love going back to Salt Lake City, like Heather Gay. Like she is super savvy, feel like, in knowing how to, you know, almost mentor young incoming housewives.
Yeah,
although Monica got away from her a little bit on that.
She lost control there.
Well, it was really interesting because I had that view of Heather until I finally went back this past week and watched Ultimate Girls Trip, Thailand.
So did you
see that?
Yeah.
And she is like compared to the housewife, like the veteran housewives of like longer standing.
No, she doesn't
franchises.
Hold her own at all.
She does not hold her own at all. Like they completely overtake her. And it's like, oh there's the difference between someone from like a younger franchise and someone from these like more these franchises where they've been doing it for many more years and like have to play with higher level players all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was really interesting to see.
I love it. So Sharon, you are yes. Let's bring Anna Marie back and Caitlin is no.
Firm
get
no.
her out of here.
Below an 8.5.
I'd be the rating. Below.
Oh,
I love it.
Well, do you think there's any other players that might not make it back?
Yeah, so we just recorded our Dorit episode on Friday.
And I have to listen to that.
Yeah, we feel bad. We like Dorit. Like, we think she's beautiful to watch. We think she, like, her clothing is so fun. And but we're afraid she's run out of story arc.
She, and I think her story is too real now, almost.
Yeah, like Sharon said, maybe it's not healthy for her anymore with the PTSD and everything, too.
The PTSD storyline, like, it's I totally believe it's a real, like, deep, difficult thing that she's dealing with, but she doesn't do a good job sharing it on camera.
No.
It comes off very surface level the way she talks about it, and maybe that's because she has to remove herself from it emotionally because she just can't go there. But it's not interesting to watch anymore because it's like, I'm not getting anything from her on it.
And that's the same with her and PK. It's not interesting to watch them squabble on the phone anymore.
No, it is not, especially after the Kyle and Mauricio.
Yeah.
Squabbling. Right.
Because PK, they're fun when they tease. I love PK. And when he's teasing Dorit, it's fun. But when it's like the serious thing about, like,
they win at each other in the talking
heads. Stop freaking out that you had a gun pointed at your head.
What's wrong with you?
Right?
Yeah, that's rough. And it was just horrible how she handled all the stuff with Garcelle.
Oh, yeah. Yes. That sucked, too. I like that. Dorit, just shut up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
Just shut up, listen.
Mm-hmm. Learn and take it in.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And if she can't do that, you know, how are they supposed to keep bringing on players of color if they have someone who can't work well with them or who makes them uncomfortable?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Anyone else?
No, I think we're okay. Even Sharon said Crystal could probably come back.
I think Crystal could. They will bring her back because she had a couple of moments. I don't think Crystal should come back. You know, speaking about how you were saying, like, Housewives having fun, Crystal is not fun. She's always dour. She's always upset. Her storylines are stupid. Well, not the eating disorder one, but that one, even that, I did not find interesting for whatever
they
reason.
They didn't take it enough, probably.
Yeah, I don't know. Something just doesn't click.
But she comes with Rob. And I thought Rob had an amazing season.
Okay, yeah, I want Crystal gone.
Yeah, she doesn't make things feel authentic. Even if these are authentic things, like, I'm sure that the eating disorder is a very authentic, real problem that she deals with, but it somehow just wasn't coming across well. It was like, no, I'm going to talk about this problem on camera. And it was like, you didn't feel like you were there with her, like, hurting with her.
It kind of feels like, I can't tell if people shy away from it because it's how deep do you want to share, or whether Bravo shies away from it a little bit. But there's often with that, those emotional things like the eating disorder or like Whitney in Salt Lake with everything that went on with the abuse with her and with her dad and everything. It feels like those could be really great moments, like teachable moments from Bravo. And I can't tell whether they can't get the cast to share enough or whether they go, it's not enough fighting. It's not interesting enough.
Well, that's also not the point of the show, though.
It's not. But there's every so often there's a moment that I feel like.
But then is it too, like, very special episode?
But, like, Garcelle is able to do it, I think,
in
a good way.
Yeah. Do we want a hidden moral?
Yes.
If you can get Garcelle to do all of it. I think she handles it really well.
I don't know.
I mean, I think you have to be careful how you do it. But I think if you're going to introduce it, then you need to follow up with it. Like, instead, I think they bring it up and then they just drop it. And we're like, you know, whatever happened with.
Yeah. Totally.
Because sometimes that emotional growth is really interesting. It just depends.
I wonder if in some strange way it's a little bit of responsibility on Bravo's part because these are really important issues that especially the eating disorder that face a lot, you know, with the TikTok eating plans and mental health and young women. And so it's like, is this like, we're clearly not going to take this on in an appropriate way that's like a really, you know, serious educational way that's helpful. And so maybe we shouldn't do anything.
Just leave it the way it is. Yeah.
And maybe giving Bravo a little bit more credit that, like, they may not be putting that much thought into it. It may just be that knee jerk reaction of like,
that's not interesting.
Or it may just be that Crystal doesn't connect.
I mean, for Crystal, I think that's
right.
But the Whitney thing, I think they could.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember back to the Whitney thing, and I can't remember a lot of in detail and why it wasn't connecting. But a specific example I was thinking of where I noticed, like, we will change our perspective on something based on how Bravo cuts it.
Yes.
Is like, do you guys remember when Meredith was talking about that car wreck or like the almost car wreck that she got into? They played like clown the replay music over the top of that. Like they were playing like goofy music over it. And it's like, this poor woman was crying. Like, imagine if they built that up differently. Like, I would have been like, and I was like, wait, this sounds actually really, like,
I think she was traumatizing. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they played like clown music over it. So it's
they
like
did that like they silly reenactment thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And then it was hard to take it seriously. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's like what they want us to see, we'll see.
Yeah, they do frame it and they get to choose how they frame it.
So transitioning off of Real Houses of Beverly Hills, we're getting excited to watch Real Housewives of New Jersey. Yes. Are you guys going to be watching it?
We are.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Who are you most excited to watch?
Not Danielle.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You could go listen to our BravoCon episode about why we don't like Danielle.
Yeah, not at Danielle.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah,
no,
not Louis. We hate Louis with a passion. Ugh. Honestly, for me, I'm kind of excited to see Rachel Fuda. I feel like she's set up to maybe, okay. I just want to see where she goes. It could not go well, but I'm kind of curious as the newbie to see what she does this season.
Mm. I didn't find her very interesting.
Was Rachel new on season 13?
The last season was. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. I'm at the point right now in rewatching last season where Rachel just, quote unquote, threw Danielle under the bus.
Oh, that's right, yes.
And basically just took whatever Danielle said about Margaret and repeated it straight to Margaret.
Mm-hmm. Her arsenal.
Put it in her arsenal for her, delivered it. Which it's an interesting moment because like Danielle said it and she needs to own up that she said it instead of, you know, making this awful defense play, but it was an amazing move by Rachel, and it's not one that I respect. I mean, it makes for a little bit of good.
It's an interesting first good season play. Move. Yeah, like you think that's a more veteran move.
But I mean, that's what I'm getting from this franchise is basically everyone is doing that. Everyone is like, "Oh, you just told me something you think about this person, and I'm going to go tell that person what you just said, and so we can fight about it later." And I hope they're all just having margaritas and laughing in the off season together.
Right?
I don't see. That's the thing.
But
that's
I don't think so.
I think that hatred with Melissa and Teresa is so real.
Yeah.
And that's what almost makes it starts to make me sad.
Andy just did an interview saying that they couldn't do another season the way they just filmed this last one because Melissa and Teresa were kept completely apart. Mm. Like they didn't film together. They didn't really interact. And he said on some other podcast that they couldn't do another season that way. So that
sounds like it's
going to
be terrible.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So, there's like big camps, I think. It's kind of like team versus team.
Are you guys team Melissa or team Teresa? You have to pick one.
Yeah.
Sophie's choice.
Yeah.
We tend to pick people based on their husbands for Jersey.
Yes.
That's a lot of how we play.
Oh, well, then they have to go Melissa. But,
exactly.
Right.
But Teresa has just been more compelling all along. Like, I just don't find Melissa that interesting.
Yeah, we could disagree. But but no, Teresa's, I mean, like we've always said, props to Teresa. Like, she is what the franchise was built around. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, it wouldn't exist the way it exists without her. So she's pivotal. I mean, she's like the Kyle kind of New Jersey.
Yes, she is. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to save this for when we talk about Kyle on your guys' episode.
Yeah.
But I have a lot of stats to go over with Kyle. Oh, cool. And we will compare her with Teresa, too, as a player.
That's fun. Yeah.
Yeah. The thing about – I kind of feel like with all – this is a little off topic. So the thing with – I feel like the franchises all need an OG. Mm-hmm. You can – there's one person – you just can't get rid of. And I like that was Vicky in OC, you know, and like Teresa on New Jersey. They just have to be there, even if you hate them, even if they got less airplay.
Yeah.
But the person I'm most excited to see is Dolores. And only because I absolutely love Frank Catania.
She adores
him. I adore him.
He follows us on Instagram.
He totally
follows us.
And
that was the greatest day for Sharon ever.
It was. Yeah. And so I want Dolores and Frank to get back together.
Oh.
Yeah.
She ships them.
I'm not so into the new guy.
We don't. Yeah.
I'm not that into Paul either.
I'm not either.
Yeah. Something just
sketchy for some reason. And I don't know.
Agree. And I think, Frank, I think they have a true love.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're such good friends, and I feel like Paul is threatened by that friendship, and that's what I don't like about him. Mm-hmm. Is I think that if he were confident in who he was in his relationship with Dolores, then he wouldn't have that issue.
Yeah, so especially when he's still married. It's like So it's like he doesn't understand why she's still dealing with her ex when he's, you know, like legally attached.
Well, Polly aside, Frank Catania, didn't he cheat on her a ton? And he was disbarred?
That was like 20 years ago.
So he's not like...
Shane's moved on.
Look, this is Jersey.
Stable or like legally...
Or discharged. That means nothing to me for a Jersey lawyer. If it were like Salt Lake City, it would be scandalous.
I mean, yeah, he's got nothing on Joe Giudice.
That's what I was going to say. When you look at the other legal dramas, it's a drop in the bucket. And he makes good TV.
Yeah.
You guys are making me more excited to get into New Jersey now.
Yeah. It's a hard one because sometimes it feels a little sad because of all the family drama. And so mm-hmm. it's like sometimes if they can't remind us that the other stuff is fun too, it can be kind of a bummer. Mm-hmm. So I hope they do a good job of that.
Well, one thing we wanted to talk to you guys about is you guys have been to BravoCon and yes. we have not. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So we went to BravoCon. It was actually a surprise for my 40th birthday. Mm-hmm. My husband mm-hmm. gave me like a card. We couldn't buy the tickets yet. So he gave me a card and it was like, you're going to BravoCon. So he got us the tickets and my in-laws wow. gave us their timeshare. Mm-hmm. And
I should have held pricey. Off with the Mexico thing and asked for BravoCon yes. instead.
Yes, right? So it was amazing.
We loved
okay,
it.
Okay, so, well, first of all, yeah, there's the whole aspect of we're away from our kids, mm-hmm. we're from mm-hmm. our family, and that's a big part
this
of
this was
it.
Our first, like, big escape.
Yeah, this was, like, mm-hmm. a big trip, and so that was its own thing. Yeah. And then just getting to actually see people in the flesh. Mm-hmm. Everyone is even more beautiful in person.
Yes.
Which is crazy to me. We left there like so excited about mm-hmm. Bravo. Like yeah. and just Real Housewives in general. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah. I mean, I felt like the community of Bravo viewers is so beautiful that like when you were there, but it was like, we just felt, it felt so good. Like it was just, it felt safe. It felt fun. It felt like everyone likes what you like. Mm-hmm. And you just got to be like immersed in that world. And like the photo ops were fun. And you can do 1 day, 2 days or 3 days. We did all three.
Yeah.
There's like 10 sessions a day and they kind of, but they overlap. So initially we thought we'd get to a lot more than we mm-hmm. did. You kind of have to pick and choose. So it's like yeah. one will overlap into the next one. So you have to go, well, am I going to do the first one or will I do the second one? So that's kind of how it
yeah.
works.
Yeah. And there are also different levels. Like, mm-hmm. so we got the base level. Yeah.
We were the Georgia admission, remember? General admission. But we had that GA yes, the on GA. Us all.
They're like, Georgia? What is this? General admission. Yeah. There is like a more expensive tier mm-hmm. that you can actually, there was almost like its own conference
it was a Hilton
room.
Hilton lounge, I think.
Oh, yeah. It was, yeah. Imagine you're walking through a hotel and it's like mm-hmm. there's this conference room and this. Well, you can't go in that one because you're GA and yeah. in there's a bunch of stars.
Yeah.
So that mm-hmm. I would have liked to have been able to go there. But yeah. however, in the shopping area, the people did pop out a lot. Mm-hmm. Like the mm-hmm.
yeah.
characters.
Yeah.
Players.
Well, and they're merchandising. Like they've got all mm-hmm. their whatever their
yep.
business lines yeah, are.
Which is
out
kind
there.
Of fun too.
It's to so them. Fun. Mm-hmm. That was almost yeah. my favorite part.
We
saw Vicky Gumbels in there. I mm-hmm. got a selfie with
wow.
Captain Sandy.
Yeah, we both saw.
Oh, we met Brooks Marks.
Who were huge
no!
fans.
Yeah, no, I remember hearing about you guys meeting Brooks Marks. And you have his tracksuit, right?
Yes.
Well, no, we don't have the pants.
No, you just have the tops. Just the top. It's very expensive.
Yeah, it's like $80 pants.
Yeah.
It's also like an $80 hoodie.
Yeah, of it,
right. We could have borrowed.
Gone out together.
That's awesome. I want to yeah. go so bad now.
Yeah. I mean, it's pricey, but it's so fun. And it was fun being in Vegas. Mm-hmm. Like, we kind of had a talk. We were like, well, if they don't do it in Vegas again, would we want to do it? Because Vegas was really a perfect venue for it. It's just, it's easy to get around.
And at least you don't have to get to the other coast.
Exactly.
Yeah.
For us, that was a big thing.
Yeah. For our listeners, our Real Housewives and Real Housewives, RH on RH podcast, you can find their 3 days of coverage. Mm-hmm. But their time at BravoCon, which I have not yet had a chance to listen to.
We apologize. The first episode, we laugh a lot.
And apparently
we got some really bad feedback.
We actually hadn't even been drinking.
Like, no one ever comments on our. Someone actually commented and they're like, they laughed. I couldn't hear what was going on.
Like, Sharon's like, they just didn't like that we were having fun and they weren't.
You're not legit until you get your first bad review.
It is true.
Told, right. So.
Yeah, because we just wonderful. Came back at the end of the day. We recorded them on our own. Something
yeah, without our sound engineer.
Yeah, without our sound engineer. So they are a little more raw.
That's all right. And you were probably just very excited all of those wonderful Bravo interactions.
We were. We would be like, here's who we saw today. Here's the weird photos we took. We got to take photos in the Sprinter van.
Oh,
yeah.
From Salt Lake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we did like the whole Lisa Barlow physically shaking on the phone. Whoever took our photos for that did this amazing. Like, she took a bunch. And so we have like almost like a little comic series of them.
Awesome.
We loved it. Maybe that's my favorite moment. That and meeting Lisa Barlow. She's my MVP.
Well, tell people where they can find your podcast if they want.
So we're available everywhere you can get your podcasts, or Spotify, Apple, all of them. You can also go through our website, which is www.rhonrh.com. And we're on Instagram and Threads. Both of our Instagram and Threads are rh_on_rh. And we do a lot of memes. Okay. We're meme-y.
Yeah, you guys have great social media.
Yeah, you do.
Thanks.
We need to hire you to do ours.
I know.
We just find Mandy.
We were talking about how in the pair, there's always one person that does all the work.
Mandy does a lot better job than me, which is impressive since because she's never been on social media before.
Yes. Yeah, it's I hadn't done much either. It is hard, like when you're not, from that world.
I feel like if you really want to have a presence, you have to be doing it 24/7. Yeah, and I'm just not ready. Like, I'm not that committed to our social media presence.
No, that is the thing. Because I just took a week off for the first time. Every other time I've kind of prepared stuff. And it felt kind of good because it is. It's at you all the time. It's beeping at you. It's, you know, like it is a whole thing.
It's very consuming.
Yes. And we're very much like right now, my husband's a pediatrician and he's reading the book, The Anxious Generation. And we're, getting our phones out of our bedroom at night and just having traditional clocks and things like that. I'm really trying to dial down our screen time as an example for our child, because you can't say no phone until you're 16 if you're always on your own phone, right? That's not cool. But anyway, so the social media thing is hard.
Yeah, it is hard. And it's hard for that generation coming up too. Like it is interesting just because we didn't deal with it as kids. So to know how to navigate all that is
okay. I never thought about a clock as being screen time. That's fascinating.
Well, just because you use your phone to
look at your phone.
Yeah.
Okay, because Caitlin hates analog clocks for some, because she like can't read a clock.
I've learned to read them. That is a myth in our family.
I have a real clock. I know how to read clocks.
Apocryphal.
In my youngest classroom, they actually covered up and so they only have the real clock with the numbers and everything. You know, they covered up the digital clock. It was like a whole thing. Cool. Like he came home and was like, she took paper and she covered up all the digital. Like it was like everyone was appalled at that level of commitment.
I have a friend who specializes in executive function in kids, you know, like
oh my God, I need
organization.
To meet
your friend. And that's an interesting topic.
Well, I have an episode actually where I interviewed her on my old podcast, which is called Family Personalities. But she talks about how important analog clocks are for kids in just being able to visualize time passing.
Because you can see
and to be able to understand how long is 5 minutes, how long is 10 minutes, you know?
Yeah.
Because otherwise it's sense. A blink versus an actual amount.
Yeah.
It's such a complicated function that our brains do between like minutes, hours, seconds on one face that it's kind of one of the first things that can be a sign of dementia. If people are having trouble reading their clock.
Have them draw a clock. In nursing school,
I guess I better practice.
Sorry, Caitlin.
Yeah. I'm going to go home.
She's going to be like, wait.
I'm going to go home and get out those like
her
first grade worksheets.
She never knew how to draw a clock.
That the clocks on left and right. Okay.
She should be like, no one thinks that the journalist, historian,
can't
read a clock.
To do it.
We just assumed you could.
Don't tell my kids, though. I told them I can read it.
Well, thank you, ladies, so much for coming on the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
I love getting all of your insights. And please go check out their podcast. And we'll check us out. I don't even know what we're going to do next. We haven't even talked about what we're going to do next. But we're definitely going to have an episode all on the reunion seating scores. I'm back hard working on that. And I should be done soon.
And there's evidence we have a player with a higher average score than Kyle.
Ooh. Yes. Okay. Higher average score.
I'm excited about that.
With higher cumulative scores.
Are you taking into account Sutton's leaving? I know we kind of talked about this
earlier.
Sharon
really would like a half point taken off for that.
I think that is not fair. She could have been asked more questions.
I've considered that because there's also like there's other housewives that have left, right? Like Nene left like a third of the way through her last reunion. There's other ones. So I've thought about that, but then it's like, how would you do it? Like, am I literally going to get a stopwatch out and be like, how much of the episode were they there for? And like, we need to recruit you to our podcast.
But you were, one of your score, I'm like getting argumentative about your podcast. Because one of the things was if you showed up to the reunion, was one of the way to get points or lose points. So I feel like it's unfair to get full points.
Get a full attendance score.
Get a full attendance score, yes. Okay. Yeah. It's really none of my business.
It's something to consider that maybe we should alter it, that like if you miss like half of the reunion.
Half or more.
Maybe something. Like
it's like a half day at school.
Yeah. Like, as long as we're not giving Crystal any points for when she usurped it. After Sutton left.
Oh, I know she kind of scooted down.
Mm-hmm. Scooted, yeah. She like took the hot seat.
You don't get a default hot seat.
We're not counting that.
No, I agree. We were talking about that too. Put a pillow there.
So much fun and such a pleasure to have you ladies on. Thank you so much.
Thanks.